We have Blue Jays talk now up to the bottom of the hour at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. It's going to be a whole lot of you, not much of me tonight. Let's start off with Daniel in New York, listening on MLB.com. Daniel, you're the leadoff man on the Blue Jays talk.
I think under the circumstances, asking how you are is fair game.
Yeah, well, I think you can hear it.
So I just want to make a couple of comments about the way the Jays have been managed this year. I think that Gibbons been doing a fantastic job trying some interesting new things, and when they don't work, ditch them. When they do work, stick with them. Putting Meister in the two-hole, putting Navarro as a DH today. Just all the little moves he's been making, and our losses haven't been because of bad managing at all. And the other thing I like is how every time Sportsnet flips over to the dugout, Kevin Seitzer's talking to whoever's coming up next or whoever was just up, and they're just they're really thinking the game properly. So I just wanted to be positive on the management.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear it. And you know, my thoughts are well established that I think that as a tactician, John Gibbons is tremendous, and he rarely does make those missteps that, you know, you kind of shake your head wondering what the manager is thinking. He's very, very good strategically and using the bullpen and all the things that the really important things that a manager does.
But it also just seems that everybody on the team is on the same page as well. Like they have a full faith in the system, you know, in the thought process. And also, like, mostly with the hitting instruction. I mean, you could see the adjustments some of the batters made in game situations, you know, from their first at bat to their second or third. It's really nice to see. So,
we hope so, at least with that stuff. I try not to try to get into people's heads much, because really none of us knows what's actually going on in there. And as far as adjustments at the plate and things like that carrying over, they really haven't hit much. For the most part at all this year. So it is good to see Seitzer being so active with the guys, but it really does come down to each individual hitter.
And then I had a question on the pitching. It just seemed to me that the Blue Jays are striking, as pitchers, are striking out more opponents than usual. Is that accurate?
Well, it would be, I think, because of the Mark Burley game in Tampa where he struck out 11. You don't expect to see that from him, but I don't think the other guys have been out of the ordinary. Brandon Morrow had 9 last night in 5 innings, which was awesome, but he's got that in him, and every once in a while he'll do that. I don't think for the most part that's happening.
Because it just seems that the pitchers are kind of feast or famine.
That is true.
Yeah.
They've either been great or they've been terrible, with one exception. Brandon Morrow has had the only start of the season, and it was Game 4 in Tampa that was neither great nor terrible. But, yeah, you're right. The starting pitchers have absolutely been feast or famine this year. And that's something that has to change. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate the call. And today was looking that way because it was 2-1 in the 7th inning. You know, you would think if the Blue Jays, it's Dallas Keuchel, you should be able to score a couple of runs against this guy. But he was terrific tonight. But it was still a 2-1 ball game until the 7th inning. And it looked like it might have been the first game of the season that the Blue Jays actually came from behind to win. And then that 3-run homer by Jonathan Villar, though, just put it, as it turned out, out of reach. Steve is in Phoenix City, Alabama, listening on Sirius XM Radio. Steve is, as always, one of our favorites. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk for your maiden voyage this year.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, my friend? You sound like you ain't feeling too good. Shot of Canadian whiskey, warm blanket, you'll be better tomorrow. How about that?
Sounds good to me, sir.
Colby, he coming around.
He's, hey, 3 hits tonight.
Yeah, he did. I think he's got it out of his head now. You know, once he gets something in his head, he struggles with it. Mike, he's always done it. But he swung the bat good tonight. I'm proud of him.
And you should be. The home run was mammoth, and then the single right up the middle. That was a gorgeous piece of hitting in the 7th inning. And then, you know what? He gets a little doink shot over third for the third hit. Those are the kinds of things that need to happen when to get you out of a slump.
That's it, my friend. All right, buddy. I just wanted to check in with you, let you know I'm still down here listening to y'all. And hope you get feeling better, buddy.
All right, I appreciate it a great deal. It's good to know that you're always around for us, Steve, in Phoenix City, Alabama. Blue Jays lose it 6-4 to the Houston Astros. It is the Blue Jays talk, taking your calls to the bottom of the hour. Let's go to John in Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, John.
Hello, Mike. First-time caller. Sorry to hear you're sick.
All right. Well, thank you for that, and thank you for calling.
Glad to. You know what? I had a couple things. One was a quick question, which you probably have answered before, so excuse me if you have, is the black dust on the turf. Just had a question about that. But I'll jump to my more player-centric question, and that is great to see Colby hit. And I think it's just a matter of time and kind of saw it coming. The one thing I've noticed for a while, and it's probably a product of being the veteran that he is, but Dickie's demeanor, no matter what goes, when things are working, when they're not, he keeps it cool, he keeps it calm, he has that head game that we've perhaps not seen from some of the younger guys like Lurie and Romero, and I don't know if it's a coaching thing or just a time thing, but if somebody like Lurie could kind of get a bit of that Dickie coolness, I think it would go a long way. Anyway, I'll hang up and let you comment.
All right, thank you. I've seen frustration out of Dickie, not to the extent that we see from Ricky Romero, you know, when he used to come off the mound screaming into his glove and stuff like that. I think Lurie needs to play on the edge in order to be as effective as he can possibly be. I mean, that's no act. It's not put on the field or anything like that. That's who he is on and off the field. And I don't know that trying to corral that would be helpful to his ultimate success, I don't think. As far as the black dust, it's not really dust on the turf. It's these tiny little rubber balls. There's a ton of them because there is, I mean, looking out onto the turf right now from here in our broadcast booth, there are huge black patches all over. And it's little tiny little super balls. I'm not quite sure why you need so many of them. I don't know what it does that helps the turf as a playing surface, but apparently they need a lot of them. And one of the things I'll try to figure out is who to talk to figure out who can tell us just why exactly they need so many. Blue Jays lose 6-4, another game that perfectly illustrates my contention, as I've had since the second game of the season, that Jose Bautista should be hitting second in this lineup. It would have been him at the plate with two out in the ninth and serving as the tying run. And it is at least the fifth time this year that a scoring opportunity inning has ended with Jose Bautista on deck because there is a lesser hitter batting in front of him. Don is in Oxbow, Saskatchewan, listening on MLB.com. Hello, Don.
Hi, Mike. I hope you're feeling 100% real quick, pal.
Ah, thank you.
Mike, I just wanted to call and say that, I like what I'm hearing so far. I know you've just started the Blue Jays chat, but it's a preemptive strike. That's why I'm calling. I'm actually very impressed with R.A. Dickey so far. After a really tough first start, he made amazing adjustments. He had really two mistakes, right, tonight that mattered, and sure they mattered. But I like his stuff. I really do. It looks good. In terms of quality outings, he's 2-1. I know there's no stat for that.
No.
I like what I see.
He's 1-2 in terms of quality. This was not a quality outing for R.A. Dickey.
Two mistakes, I guess you're right.
It wasn't two mistakes, though, was it? I mean,
they were big ones, sure, absolutely. But you're the man. You're the man, Mike.
Mark Krause, to your view on that. Well, but listen, though, Mark Krause led off that fifth inning with a double off the base of the wall that he destroyed. He just missed hitting it out, and then two batters later, Robbie Grossman, who comes into the game hitting like 70, takes him out of the yard. Then in the seventh inning with one out, he walks the eight hitter after giving up a loud double, walks the eight hitter, and then gives up a three-run homer to the nine hitter. So, you know, if you're making mistakes, if you're throwing a flat knuckleball and a middle-of-the-order guy takes you deep because that's what Chris Carter does every once in a while, right. Then, yeah, you can say he made a mistake or two. But, I mean, those are four key mistakes, and giving up home runs to the eight and nine hitter, doesn't really, you know, allow you to
maybe
come off
due,
this game.
Mike.
Oh, I'm sure they were due. No question that they were due.
You know,
you
got
to take care of business.
Was clocking at tonight. I didn't catch that speed-wise.
I didn't see anything over 80, but to be honest, I was kind of fading in and out of consciousness for most of the game.
God bless you, pal. And here you are, still standing. You know, I think my bigger concern is run support, especially in clutch situations, but it's awfully early. I mean, here we're 10 games in. We're just barely clearing our throat in this season, that's all. But, you know, my only other comment, if I may, is that I'm hearing some ridiculous stuff in the media. I guess their stuff is defined stories, you know, that there's the concern that the Blue Jays better come out with a decent season or their fan support will collapse. Now, I don't want to put you in the spot, and, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot and ask you point blank about that, but I'm just hoping that's ridiculous. I really, really do. I don't know if you've been hearing the same stuff, and I'm just hoping that our fan base is a heck of a lot better than that. And I hope that our guys are going to stick with this crew. This is a talented team. This is a team with a lot of chemistry. It's a lot of fun to watch these guys, and I hope we stick with them through thick and thin. I really do.
Well, the true fans do that, but I, you know what, if the fan support didn't completely erode after last year, which was just a supreme disappointment, about as much as it can get, I don't know that being crappy this year will erode it any further. Thank you, Don. I appreciate the call.
Take care, Mike. Feel better.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. We'll fit some more in here before we go. It's 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell in long distance. Is 1-888-666-0590. Scott's in Elmira, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Been better, thank you. Go ahead.
I'm just on my way home. My son's sleeping in the back seat.
Nice.
You know, it's too bad that they can't do Junior J's night every night and have half-price tickets, because that'd be a way to get the fans in the stands. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, Junior J's at night. I don't know if you want to bring a 10, 12-year-old in on a school night on a regular basis where you don't get home till 10:30, 11 o'clock. Like you said, he's sleeping in the back seat. That's one. But two, I think Paul Beeston, the president of the Blue Jays, theory of business suggests that if you that you're devaluing your product if you're letting people in for free or making it too cheap and you want to give them a product that's worth paying full price for, and you want to charge them full price.
Well, you
I don't
know,
necessarily
they,
agree, but
yeah, we went down tonight and we got a ball in batting practice. We got tattoos, we got stickers, we got a picture with Ace. You know, my son just loves it. Right, wishes we could go every night, and you know, we might go more often if every night was half price tickets.
Yeah. And a lot of people would go more often, I think, if every night was half-price tickets. But if every night's half-price tickets, then they become not half-price. Then that's your price.
You know, if you got 12,000 people on a Tuesday night, you know, 25.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And they used to have the Toonie Tuesdays, everyone's, well, in April and May anyway, a few years ago. And they would pack the place, though it was very often amateur drunk night at those games. This is how they're doing it for now.
Yeah, you know, they did a great job tonight, so I just want to say thanks to all the guys out in the 200 level that made it a good night.
Tremendous. Thank you, sir. And I'm sure they're listening, and I'm sure they enjoyed hearing that from you. Much appreciated. Blue Jays rally with 3 in the ninth, still fall 6-4 to the Houston Astros. We continue on the Blue Jays talk with Matthew in Toronto. Hello, Matthew.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
I just had a comment/question about R.A. Dickey. And is R.A. Dickey truly a number one pitcher? Now, he's 2 years removed from winning the Cy Young. Didn't have the greatest season last year. He started this year 1-2, just lost to a team, like you said, with only 51 wins last year. And really, should he be an ace, or is he a good second, third man in the rotation that we have forced up into our ace spot because we don't have a better or greater starting rotation in the lineup? I'll hang up.
Don't hang up, because I want to ask you something.
Okay.
Because once the season starts, after opening day, does it matter?
Does it matter if he's the ace or not?
Yeah, does it matter if now, for me anyway, there are number one pitchers and there are aces. And there are not nearly as many aces as there are number one pitchers.
Agreed.
But every team's got to have a number one. Is R.A. Dickey a quote-unquote ace? No, he's not. He was a couple of years ago with the New York Mets, and when that knuckleball is knuckling, if he gets on a run like that, he can be again. But right now, including last year, no, he's not an ace. But I don't know why.
So then the question I have for you then is, should we maybe finagle and try somebody else in that number one spot?
But that's the thing, though. There is no number one spot anymore. The season has started. Dickey pitched game one, game six, and game 10. There is no longer a number one spot. It's not like, you know, he faced Dallas Keuchel tonight. It's not like he's going to go up against other teams' aces the rest of the year. Off days and other things will take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter anymore. You just hope you get enough production out of him. You hope that he pitches the way he can. And you hope that the other four guys in the rotation pitch the way they can as well. And then all of a sudden there's no debate because everyone's going good.
Well, I hope so. Like, I'm a fan, and I obviously I'm a guy who's a cup half full, and I hope he produces the way he did in his Cy Young year. It's just not the sort of start I think everyone would have liked to see from him.
Is that the absolute truth? 100%. Not the start that anyone would have liked to have seen from him, especially with all three, the first three games being indoors. Thank you, Matthew. We'll get one more call in before we have to go. It is Don from Whitby, listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Don.
Hi, Mike. Mike, I had a couple comments, actually, and one you kind of stole my thunder a couple minutes ago, but take a little bit of issue with your first caller about some of the things Gibby's doing. Not that I think he's a bad manager. He's a good manager, just a couple issues. One is Bautista has to be hitting in the two-hole. This is ridiculous, this concept that you have to have him in the three-hole and Edwin in the four-hole because that's what the kind of hitters they are. They're better hitters than whoever they've been putting in the two-hole. They should be moved up. It makes a lot more sense.
It's true. I don't think that's John Gibbons, though.
Okay, well, whoever's making that decision to make that lineup change is making a mistake. The other thing that I've noticed over the first bunch of games is, and I'm not against, you know, the idea that left-handers should sit against left-handed pitching because it does make sense most of the time. But right now, the options that they have off the bench that they're using as a right-handed DH is not better than Lind as hitting against left-handers. Right now, the right-handed DHs are hitting 2-for-16 on the season. That's not good enough, and there's no point in having someone in there just because they're right-handed if Lind is a better option, even if it is hitting against the left-hander.
But, the thing is, Lind isn't a better option.
Because but he is for what they have right now.
No, he's better than how they're doing right now, and that's even debatable, whether he would be any better than 2-for-16 hitting against left-handers. Deonner Navarro has been a very good right-handed hitter. He had an OPS over 1,000 against lefties last year. He is a better option to DH against the left-hander than Adam Lind is. Whether it's happening or not, whether he's having the success or not, and he's not, he's still, it doesn't mean he's not a better option.
No, and I agree. On nights like tonight where Dickey's pitching and Navarro's not going to be catching, you're right, he is a better option. But other than Navarro, so if Navarro's catching, if you're going to use Kratz or going to use
Sierra,
of the other options off the bench, whoever it is, Sierra, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because they're going to give me a better shot than Adam Lind against most lefties. They are. I mean, as much as people don't want to hear it, he's a 220 lifetime hitter in 900 career plate appearances with not much power and not many walks against left-handed pitching.
Yeah,
it's a fact.
But my point is, I think 220 is better than Sierra in there.
It's
Sierra's
not,
just not a good hitter, but he's
but
not.
But it doesn't matter what his average is so far this year. He's 0-for-9 or whatever it is. We got to let you go because we're hard up against the clock. Thanks for all the calls. I really do appreciate them, especially tonight. Blue Jays lose at 6-4 to the Astros. It is the Honda Post Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's going to do it for us here at Rogers Center, and not a moment too soon. It is a 6-4 loss for the Blue Jays to the Houston Astros. They are off on an 11-day, 9-game road trip that begins tomorrow night in Baltimore. Dustin McGowan takes the mound against Chris Tillman. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:05 first pitch. Please join us then. You've been listening to Home Hardware, Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. Any accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Brett Armstrong, Derek Brandeo, and Igor Enriquez, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye from Rogers.